Good morning to all of you. I too greet you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and also may he be the one that gives you peace and tranquility in your hearts from glory to glory, from moment to moment. Let's continue to do that. Let's continue to be certain that we are in him and walk in peace with him. Benjamin is short, like me, and like Neil, and so he puts up this mic that's can't look over it. Sorry. I think when you actually ordered it, you didn't know, right, that it was going to be that tall. Anyway, just confessing that Neil and I are both short, and Benjamin is too. Yeah, Neil tapped me on the shoulder, and he says in the bulletin, he says, "Is that your text verse?" And I think he's starting to get hot. He said, "That's what I'm going to be speaking on." And I'm like, "Don't worry about it. It's going to come from such different directions that it won't look like it's the same," and it really is. So that is my text verse this morning, and I'm not sure that the text verse, the title of my message is correct. It's the Great Commission. Maybe it should be Kingdom Builders. Anyway, that's the topic this morning. I want to talk on preaching the gospel, and I want to start off with Mark chapter 6 and verse 15. You see it there in the bulletin. It's a very small, short verse, but at the same time, it's a very impactful. It says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That's not complicated. That's pretty simple. That's pretty straightforward. And I'm definitely not saying that you are not doing this, but I also know that there are times when we need to be reminded that this is part of what God has called us to do. It's about building the kingdom. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we pray, "Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done." That has to do with building his kingdom. And we need to be busy about the kingdom of God, and we need to be busy about that. The focus is to remind us to preach the gospel. I think that's a reminder that we all need reminding of regularly. And real short, what is the gospel? It's the good news. The good news of what? The good news that God sent his Son to redeem mankind from the world, from sin, and from eternal destruction. A lot of times it's preached only or shared only in a way that we are saved from hell, but we're also saved in this life already. We are already being saved in this life, and we can already rejoice and be happy in what Christ has done. If you died today, would you be content with what you have done for the kingdom of God up to this point? We're only held accountable until the point where we die, right? Not any further. So would you be content? So this morning, I simply want to bring this out. And so with that, I want to start off with the very first question, and that is, is this command, as Neil already said it was, and it doesn't say this is a command, but he says, "Go into all the world." It's an action word, go do this. And so the first question I want to ask is, does this mean that, is this for everyone? Is this for every person to be obedient to this, or are there only some people called to do this? I think that answer is pretty simple. I don't think it's complicated to do that, but I do want to say that this command is not for those that have not said yes to this great gift that God has given us. This is only a yes to those who have accepted the gift that God has given us. So yes, it is a clear yes that it's everybody's job to go out and promote the gospel in one way or another, and to promote the gospel so that you, what I want to do is encourage you that in whatever capacity you are, wherever you are, that you will be at work about promoting the gospel in one way or another. I would like to turn our attention to a different goal. This is my goal, but I want to turn my attention to a little bit and briefly to a different discussion, and that is simply, when I said that, what I really wanted to bring out was, this is the job of the church. God has called the church to do this. God has called the church to go into the world and preach the gospel. And when we look at this, when we look at the simple command, then I ask the question, who should be preaching the gospel? The answer is the church. Then the question is, who's the church? And the answer to that is, the church in the New Testament is made up of the people who are in Christ. That's the church. That's very simple. When we talk about church, I think we're often talking about the building, which that's okay. That's what this is. It's a church building. It holds God's people in it. It's also the church. What time church starts, that's this time. That's all correct. But whenever we're looking in the New Testament, we see the word church, and that is the people that are saved, that are in the kingdom of God. And with that, I would like to simply say that you are the church. So this is spoken to us. This is said to you. I think that we easily push that off and say it's not for me. I don't know how to do this. And this morning, I want to encourage you and give you some very practical advice. I think not everybody can go out into the world and preach the gospel in the same way. And I will get into that a little bit. In Romans, we're going to look at a little bit the different gifts that are there. But the spreading of the gospel is for everyone. And on Sunday morning, when church gets together, it is to do something different. And that's what I want to do. I want to share that with you this morning. In Ephesians chapter 4, I think we make a mistake when we see that church is the only time that we have to do with preaching the gospel or sharing the gospel. That's actually not what Christ had intended for us to do. I want to say it clearly this morning, that if you invite an unbeliever to church and they come and hear the message, even if the message is something about those that are inside the kingdom, that's good. We should continue to do that. I'm not saying that we shouldn't do that. But the time that the church is together, when we are together, it is more about edifying one another. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, and it talks first of all about the gifts, and then it says what those gifts are for. I know I've shared this before, but we just want to keep sharing it so that we keep doing it. It says, He himself gave some to be apostles. I personally don't know any apostles under the definition of my understanding of the apostles. And then it says some prophets. I think we are very weak on that. But the next three are in our midst, and some of these are stronger than the other. Then we have some evangelists. These are the people that go out and just in byways and highways. That's all they do. They're evangelizing. Or they could be somebody like Andreas Lemke that comes down, and when he comes, there are for sure some conversions. But then we have pastors and teachers. So we have these five gifts, and it says what they're for. It says in verse 12, for the equipping of the saints. Who are the saints? The saints are those who have said yes to Christ and have said no to themselves. That is who the saints are, and then it says what this is for. This message is for the Christians, and then it says the work of ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ. So that's what we're together for this morning, to do this, to encourage everyone. I know you hear it all the time that we say, when we're saying amen, that we say church starts now, and this is where that comes from. When we leave here, that's when church starts working. Church here is also very busy, absolutely. There's many different functions that have to be done here. Children's story, somebody has to make sure everything is clean and lights are on, ACs are on. These are all important things that when we're together, but these are all things to prepare us to go out and preach the gospel. I'm talking to everybody this morning. If you are a father or a husband, a mother or a wife, if you are single, whoever you are, if you are a businessman, you have the responsibility of carrying the gospel further. Now, I want to right away make sure that you understand what I mean by that. Not every single person that we run into should we boldly go in their face and ask them if they're Christians and try to convert them right then and there. Our goal should be, and I'm going to get into that a little bit later, our end goal is where we're going with the whole thing. So if you're a businessman, if you're a father, if you're a husband, you're a wife, you're a mother, you're a common laborer, whatever you're doing, you have the responsibility to preach the gospel. And so let's start with some of the simple things. It starts with some of the simple things like, it doesn't matter who you are, what stage in life you are, you can be a witness. That story from D.L. Moody is a great story, and it fits right in here. It's so simple. It's simple to simply be a witness for Christ. That's not complicated, is it? It's complicated when we start making steps. You got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, and I believe that's what the scripture clearly talks about, that you shall go out and be witnesses for me. That's what he says when he leaves, and we see it in Revelations also. It takes humility. It takes humility to share the gospel with people. There are people who will view you in a lower level once you start talking about Christ. If you're a successful businessman, you go out into the world, and the world will respect you because you're a successful businessman. And if you're talking to other Christians, they too will respect you. But if you start talking to unbelievers, they will right away put you on a lower level. They will have less respect for you. And that should be okay with us. We should say that's what they did to Jesus. Why would they do anything less with us? We should actually just humble ourselves and say it's okay. God has called me to do this. It should be that way. A little bit more into this stuff. Sometimes we think that we can't do anything simply because whatever the barriers are. Well, I'm just a housewife in the house, or I'm a tractor driver, or whatever you want to, whatever thing there is in your life that says that I can't really do this. I just want to tell you that this example from D.L. Moody is actually perfect for what I'm talking about this morning. If we will continue to read our Bible, to be in fellowship with Christ, there will be opportunities that come up where you simply witness for Christ. It's not a complicated thing. And so we need to continue to do that. Mothers and fathers, I want to say a few words to you. This message was inspired on Friday. I have been asked to do a topic on brotherhood in Alberta on Friday evening. And I was looking around for material from brotherhood, and I remembered this little book that an old friend of mine sent me, and I had bought a box full of these for the youth, and they didn't all get used up, and I put them in the back of that little shelf back there. And Friday evening when I came to prayer meeting, I looked to see if they were there, and I read through this, and it inspired me again, the Anabaptist vision, and how different the Anabaptists were from the Protestants and the Catholics. There was the three branches in the early 1500s. We had the Protestants and the Catholics and the Anabaptist, and how different the Anabaptist functioned. And I was really inspired again to not forget what we've been called to do. The number one goal God has for us is to be kingdom builders, and this can be done in many, many different ways. And the first way to do that is to bring people to Christ. That is the number one thing that we should do. And so back to the fathers and the mothers, when we're raising children, you know, I have tried to remind people who are in school, school board, teachers, even parents, I've tried to remind them, let's not hold the children accountable as a Christian because they are not Christians because they are in a Christian family and in a Christian school. That doesn't make them a Christian. We as Christian parents and the teachers and the school board, the end goal is that these children, when they finish school, they will be well-equipped Christians. But we cannot look at them as Christians when they're in second grade and they're messing up and they're like, oh, that should never happen in a school. Excuse me, those are kids. They are still human beings. I don't know what all stupid things you did when you were a kid, but I sure did my share. So it's not. Don't look at it that way. And so what I want to do with that is say, mothers and fathers, you have a great, great duty. And I think, I'm just going to say it, moms, I think you have a greater opportunity than anybody to influence those children. And the attitude is a huge deal. What kind of attitude you have around your children, whether they're going to say, I want what mom's got, and fathers, you too. You come home with your attitude, and do the children come away from that when they're grown and say, whatever dad has, that's what I want. So we have a tremendous opportunity and a duty and a call to train these children to be adults that want to follow Christ. And so I hope we're going to continue to do. And one of the things that I was just reminded about this is one of the things that comes out in here is the difference between these three men at the end of their life, what they said about what they had accomplished. And I think we need to always keep this before us, that we continue to have kingdom building as our first sight, kingdom building, preaching the gospel, preaching the Great Commission. To share the gospel is then everyone's duty. I know to some of you this is probably a foreign thought, but it's not been that long ago that people had the mentality that the only people that preached the gospel were preachers. That was my main thing that I wanted to answer with this here. When it says here in Mark, it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Where in the world did we get the idea that that's only to preachers? It's not what it says. We have the same thing in Matthew chapter 28. There's a little bit more details in there as to what we're to do. And we see Matthew seeing it from a different angle, but we see the same thing. Here it says in Matthew 28 and verse 19, to my shame, I have often not seen these words. Matthew 28, 18 says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So, and teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. So these two men see this in a little bit different. They heard a little bit different wording of what Jesus said, but at the end they are the same thing. Mark actually makes it much simpler. I think I've said it before, but Mark is more of a summary guy. He did more of where Matthew and Luke go into great detail, and John goes more into the relationship. So we see the differences between these three men. But the conclusion of the matter here is that both of these clearly bring out that we are to preach the gospel and then continue with that. And that's why I said that just labeling it the Great Commission is probably not correct. It's also that second part where we are to make disciples of these men. One of the things that happens when we do this and we're conscious about this and we want to do this and this is our goal, and I think one of the things that happens, I wonder how many of you would give testimony to this. You share the gospel with somebody and you've got something in your life that really stinks. There's something about you that's not Christ-like at all. But you share the gospel anyway, and maybe you're not aware of this thing that you have that's not a sweet-smelling aroma. And you share the gospel with someone, and maybe is an unconverted person, or maybe is just a very honest person that says, you do that, and you share the gospel. Would anybody give me testimony to that's happened to you? Just two, three? You guys are way, way nobler than I am. I started sharing the gospel, and I had not been sharing the gospel very long, and then one day I was doing something, and one of the men I worked with, he came up to me, and he said, earlier today you were sharing about what God had done in your life, and you were talking about the Bible, and then you do this. You know what that did to me? What that was something that I cut off in my life right then and there. So when we look at this, and we're changing, and we're looking, and it helps us to challenge ourselves and to ask myself, where am I, so that I'm not a hindrance to the gospel, so that I will actually be kingdom builder. And I was just thinking about that. When we're thinking about all this authority that has been given to us, we have been given so much authority to preach this gospel. There's so much power behind us, and we too many times focus on what's not there. Let's focus on the power that's there for us to do this. So this idea that only preachers should preach is not found in the scripture. When we look at both of these, he commands them to go out. And one of the things that is very, very meaningful is to read through the book of Acts and see how literal they took it and what they did with this. They went out and just did what Christ has told them to do. They didn't go to seminary. They didn't go to Bible study first. They didn't go to Bible school. They did what Christ had told them to do. They went out and shared what Christ had done for them. This is one of the reasons when we have free will sharing and we say there's an opportunity for everybody to give testimony. Is Christ doing anything in your life? It can be a 10-minute thing. I know the last free will program we had, one sister shared something that sparked something in my heart to change something, and I am very thankful for that, and I continue to do that. And that is what that is. We're building the kingdom. We're not just focusing on one thing. When we look at these five gifts that are in the Bible here that we saw, I think we're... As a Mennonite people, as a Mennonite people, we have some very strong things, but we also have some weaknesses. When you look at evangelist, I believe that's a weakness. What do you call a modern day evangelist? Come up with a new term. It's called a missionary. So the challenge I want to do this morning is for us to look and see where are we weak. So how many missionaries do you know, personally? How many people that have actually, that are actually moved somewhere because that's the place to share the gospel? I think there's a weakness that we can see. When it says evangelist, it's a missionary, somebody that goes out and preaches the gospel. That's his life goal. That's her life goal. That's what they're doing day and night. That's what they live with. But there's some others. And sometimes we say things and somebody would say, oh, that sounds good. For example, do we believe that when it says here, some pastors and some teachers, do we believe anywhere that teachers are just females? I don't think so, do we? It doesn't say that here. And so we would say that men are teachers, right? But then when we observe our practice, for example, when the school starts up again, I challenge you to come and visit the school and see how many female teachers there are. And I'm not saying that they shouldn't come. I'm very thankful for the female teachers. But where are the men? And I'm very thankful. We've seen a shift here. I think we had three last year, right? Who can tell? Who can verify? Did we have three? So we had three last year, and I've seen a shift. All the local principals are, except for one, I think are now men, which I'm thankful for. So we're seeing that a little bit, and I want to push on that again this morning. I want to push. If the Holy Spirit has been poking you that you should teach, then you should stop with the selfishness that says, well, then I can't go to Lubbock shopping, or I can't sleep in the morning. There's too much money around here anyway. Not in the right areas, though, right? Because school always needs more money. So getting back to this, when we say one thing, we're preaching one thing, we're saying that we would never say that teachers is just for women, and yet our practice brings that out. So I just want to challenge us this morning that we are further. We should be further in that direction. There should be a greater balance in that. And I'm just here to challenge you this morning on that. I know there's a lot of people, they ask the question, where can I preach Christ? And we're always looking for maybe a pulpit or maybe a classroom or maybe the prison ministry, and I understand and support all of those. But there's some areas that we could do better, and some people might say, well, I don't have the gift. And with that, I'd like to go to Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. Romans chapter 12, 3 through 8 says, "For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, all the members do not have the same function. So we being many are one body in Christ and individual members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, then let us prophesy in proportion to our faith." In other words, if you don't have much faith, then you shouldn't prophesy too much. If your faith is great, then prophesy. Or if that's your gift. Or ministry, let us use it in ministry. He who teaches in teaching. In other words, if you have the gift to teach, then teach. He who exhorts in exhortation. If you have the gift to, and this word exhort I think has been abused a lot, it is often used in the way where you would rebuke someone, and it definitely can be that, but it's also, exhortation is also encouraging people. And he who gives with liberality, and so we're talking about who can all build in the kingdom of God. So if you say, I don't have the gift to speak, or I can't hardly share anything, you simply need to, as a businessman, share that what Christ has done for you in your life. It can be a simple statement that God helped me with this, or such things. The early years of one of the greatest mountains I overcame in my life was smoking. I was a serious, serious addict. I smoked two to three packs a day. That was my normal smoking. And when I overcame that, that was huge for me. And it was a mountain that I couldn't stop praising God for, and I couldn't quit talking about it. I go into a store, and somebody would be buying cigarettes in front of me, and I would say, don't you wish you weren't doing that? Because I've never met a smoker that really wants to smoke. They all hate it. I said, don't you wish you didn't have to buy that expensive? Oh, yeah. So, well, I used to. And they said, oh, what did you do? Well, Christ delivered me from that. Oh, and they were gone. Maybe you think that's nothing, but that is sowing a seed. And this is what I'm talking about. Businessmen, you can do this too. And then it says, he who gives with liberality. Men, if God has blessed you with great finances, you have a greater responsibility to share that to the person who can't earn while he's teaching or whatever. These things should function easily. I said Friday evening at prayer meeting, I said that we have teachers right here. It's just a matter of willingness. And a lot of times it ties directly to this. So let me continue. He who leads with diligent, that's talking about anybody who's in any kind of leadership position, you will lead with a willing heart, you will lead out. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So what I wanted to bring out with this is that there's a lot of opportunities where we can do something. And not all of it is seen. And I want to just give credit where credit is due. This last weekend when we were doing what we were doing, everybody jumps in and does their work, and you do great work. Not all the youth are here this morning. They're on a couples retreat, and maybe the youth are sitting here saying, sorry, youth retreat. Yeah, it would be weird, right, if youth went to couples retreat and the couples went to youth retreat. The youth often think that they don't have a place where they can share the gospel. And I want to share something with you, a true story. I saw this for myself. We visited a little church in 2001, and there was, I don't know, four or five youth there. And they had a youth, but they had one young man in there just, his testimony was a great testimony. He had thought he was a Christian and almost drowned, and through that had a real conversion and was very, very serious about his converted life. We went back to that church, I believe, in 2006 again. 2002 and then 2006, and that youth had grown. This young man would go out in the public places where youth hang out and start sharing Christ and just keep bringing them into the youth. And that youth was a large youth. And so, young people, you can do things. It's just a matter of not being shy about what Christ has done for you and really meaning that Jesus has saved me. Is it worth anything to me? It is worth something to me, and I believe it is to you too, but this is where we're at. Some practical advice about sharing the gospel, and this is for everyone. I think there's people who desperately would like to do something for Christ, but they don't know what to do. This is some very, very simple advice. Look around you, and you see someone of low esteem, someone who's not very high on the ladder. Maybe there's somebody's house you drive by all the time. Nobody visits with them. Nobody invites them over. Look around and find yourself a couple like that and invite them over for barbecue, and then share a simple testimony. Plant some seeds. There are there's a guesstimation in Gaines County that there are between 30 and 40,000 people here. There are roughly 22, 23, 24 churches. So if all the churches hold 500 people, and they don't, if they hold 500 people, then we have 12,000, then we have room for 12,000 people in church. Where are the other 20,000 people? There is great opportunity right here to build the kingdom of God, and let's continue to do that. So this is just some very practical advice, that you look around you and you find somebody that doesn't have friends and be their friend. Invite them over for a meal. Share the gospel with them and do these things. And we are instructed to be hospitable anyway. And I just meant this to be some very practical advice this morning. If you do a little bit of math, if everyone in here that is an adult Christian would bring one person to Christ in 5 years, then in 5 years we would double in number. Now, should it be complicated to bring one person to Christ in a year, if that's your focus? So I was putting that number way out there to five, just to give us some room, and just to give you an idea. And with that, I just want to simply challenge all of us that we don't stop sharing the gospel, that we continue to do that, and that we would be serious about this. I'm not saying that you should go from here and on blur. That's not what I'm talking about at all. What I'm going to tell you is to win people to Christ sometimes takes a long time. It takes a lot of patience. When you set your sights on someone that's not converted, start praying for them first, and then start trying to fellowship, bring them over for a meal, or whatever it is that you can do to bring this person in. Start trying to win this person to Christ. I know when we read in Acts, Philip walked down the road, the Ethiopian eunuch converted right away. Maybe that's not what God has for us. Let's not minimize these ways that take longer, and it also takes them to get to know you, and you are going to learn how to do this as well. You learn from experience. You, for example, that guy that told me that the thing that I was doing didn't match what I was saying, and it forced me to analyze myself and to quit this so that I was a better witness for Christ. That it also requires growth on this side as well. We're not just looking at bringing people to Christ. We are to disciple them. We're to make kingdom builders out of those people. And that's one of the things that I think is very important. So this morning, I would just say, remember that whatever you say or do, if you are a child of God, you're either drawing or pushing. And may God grant it to us that we continue to build his kingdom. And with that, wherever it's fitting, let's bow our knees for prayer, and I will give you some time to pray for yourself, and then I will close in prayer. Yeah.